I asked BJ just now, what should I preach on this morning? He goes, did you say David? I think I'll preach on David. Thank you for that. See, there's no problem when I show up to this chapel. I have six ready-made messages ready to go. In fact, you have the printed copy of each of the messages that I preached on each of the six signs. Amen. Do you not? Why, this morning I could preach on divine providence. Oh, yes, I could. I could preach on sovereign grace. Oh, yes, I could. I could preach on God's steadfast love. You betcha. I could preach on God's steadfast love. Persevering faith. Oh, I've got ready-made messages for you on persevering faith, which leads to enduring hope. I can preach on enduring hope, which leads to eternal glory. Praise be His name. BJ, what did you say? Preach on David? I think that's what I will do. Thank you. Thank you so much. And I'm going to tie David into the first sign, sovereign divine providence. We believe that God is sovereign. We believe that all things are ordained of Him. We believe that David said in Psalm 139 and verse 16, in thy book there are written all the days ordained for me, when there was not yet one of them. That's divine providence. Amen. We believe that there are no accidents. Nothing comes to us by chance, luck, fortune, or fate. Everything comes to us from His good hand. Amen. That's what I told our friend Glenn Garrity this morning. He says, I don't know what to do. I said, relax. Today is the day the Lord has made. Get your car fixed. Take it off. And just come back and see us next week. God has a plan, and He has a very special message for you today. Amen. Oh, yes, He does. It's all about sovereignty. It's all about providence as filtered through the mindset of David. Thank you, BJ, for helping me to know what to preach on this day. In our men's discipleship group on Tuesday evenings, we just finished up an amazing chapter on, what was it? What was that chapter on? What was it? Guidance. Clear guidance. I'm so glad you guys remembered what that chapter was on. Good grief. Going back into a review next Tuesday night. Good grief. It was all about on clear guidance. And at the end of the chapter, Sinclair Ferguson gave us five principles to gain God's guidance, as he quotes from a 17th century Puritan. The man's name is John Flavel. John Flavel is an amazing author. He wrote a book called The Mystery of Providence. Every single one of you men in the study is going to get a copy of The Mystery of Providence, because in God's dealings with us, there is a mystery. We don't exactly know what He's doing, when He's doing, why He's doing, but we trust Him because we know He knows. Amen. The way that we take. John Flavel is a tremendous author. Thank God that Sinclair Ferguson gave us the five principles of guidance. It's all about the mystery of providence. This book, which I read so many years ago, by the way, it didn't look anything like this, Peter. The Puritan paperbacks back in the day did not look anything like these sharp-looking books look today. This is really amazing. Years ago, I read the book, and just let me tell you what this entire book is on. Are you ready? Since this work has gone through many editions, based on the words, Psalm 57 and verse 2, God performs all things for me. This work shows how providence works for us in every stage and experience of our lives. And this book is richly illustrated from the lives of believers and from the author's wide reading of church history. God's providence. The text that John Flavel uses to talk about providence is one I want to open up to you this morning. It's Psalm 57, verses 1 and 2. So, if you have your Bibles with you today, and I know that you do, you're going to turn with me first to Psalm 57, then we're going to dip back into 1 Samuel, then we're going to go back into Psalm 57. Aren't you excited? Amen. Thank you, BJ, for helping me to see. We're going to preach on David today. That's exactly what he said. Preach on, okay, I'm going to preach on David. All right, here we are. Look at Psalm 57. The words above verse 1 are called the superscription. They are the title, set the stage for what this psalm is all about. Look at the first line. The psalm is for the director of music. What does that mean? It means that the psalm was so important that David ascribed it to the director of music. He wanted this song sung during temple or synagogue worship. And so that's how important this psalm is for the director of music. Then it's set to a special tune called Do Not Destroy. Then we know that the psalm is of David, which means by David. David wrote this psalm. It's a miktam, a psalm of sorrow, when he had fled from Saul into the cave. Good grief. That's a historical basis of the psalm. When David fled from Saul into the cave. That's the background of the psalm. So we really can't appreciate the significance of the psalm unless we understand the background to the psalm. Correct? How many people know the background to the Star Spangled Banner? The rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. If you don't know the background of that tremendous battle in 1812, you can't possibly appreciate the words to our national anthem. Can we? Well, the same thing is true when we have an historical setting for the psalm. David is writing under distress, and he tells us that he wrote this when he had fled from Saul into the cave. How many occasions in David's life were there when he had to flee King Saul and hide out in a cave? One, two, three, four. How many times? Twice. Two times David was on the run from King Saul. Two times he had to flee into a cave to hide until the danger passed by. The first time is found in 1 Samuel 22. The second, hiding out in the cave, is 1 Samuel 24. We're not quite sure what the setting is, so I'm going to go with the first one. Would you turn with me, please, to 1 Samuel chapter 22? 1 Samuel chapter 22. David is being hounded day and night by an outrageously jealous king who's seeking to do him in. And David is in flight. He goes from one place to the next, from one place to the other. And when you pick up the reading with me in 1 Samuel chapter 21, we'll pick up the reading when he lands in a Philippian stronghold and he gets himself into all kinds of trouble. Are you with me? 1 Samuel chapter 21. He is on the run. He is in a panic mode. And he begins to, we begin to see his experience when we read 1 Samuel 21 and verse 10. That day, David fled from Saul and went to Achish, king of Gath. But the servants of Achish said to him, "Isn't this David, the king of the land? Isn't he the one they sing about in their dances? Saul has slain his thousands, and David's his tens of thousands. Yes, indeed, this is the very one, David." David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, king of Gath. So what did David do? He pretended to be insane in their presence. And while he was in their hands, he acted like a madman, making marks on the doors of the gate and letting saliva run down his beard. David is in a panic mode. In God's providence, he is playing like a crazy man. Achish said to his servants, "Look at the man. He is insane. Why bring him to me? Am I so short of madmen that you have to bring this fellow here to carry on like this in front of me?" Must this man come into my house? What are you guys talking about? I've got enough crazy people in my world. Why would I want one more? And David escapes. Verse 1 of chapter 22. David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. He's hiding out. And when his brothers and his father's household heard about it, they went down to him there, and all those who were in distress or in debt or discontented gathered around him, and he became their leader. About 400 men were with him. What in the world was David doing in this cave with 400 men? Let's turn to Psalm 57. David was regathering himself. He was collecting his thoughts. He was trusting in providence. He acknowledges that everything that has happened to him is according to God's plan. Even his play acting, God has a purpose for all of this. And so when you come with me to Psalm 57, look at how David begins this wonderful psalm. Remember, he was in a panic mode. Remember that he was in distress. Remember that he was in flight. Remember that he didn't know which end was up. There is a time when God now grabs hold of his soul. And in the cave, David has time to reflect, and he has time to pray, and he has time to think about God's sovereignty. Verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God. Have mercy on me. Why? For in you my soul takes refuge. David knows that the God of Israel is his rock, his fortress, his stronghold, his refuge. Have mercy on me. Have mercy, for in you my soul takes refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. Isn't that amazing? That's a choice that David makes. In one of his darkest, deepest hours of distress, he has a choice to make. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. The beautiful, beautiful picture of God's loving, protective care. May I tell you a story? Many years ago, when these trees were first planted, I had an opportunity to walk around the ground. And as I looked onto the ground where that tree stands today, I saw a little bird, a little tiny baby bird. I thought to myself, where in the world did this little bird come from? I looked up into that tree, and there was the nest. And on that nest was the mother bird. And the mother bird was looking down at the little baby bird. And I looked at that mother bird, I looked at that baby bird, and I knew the baby bird was going to be just fine as long as I just left them alone. About an hour later, I came out to check the theory. I came out to check the theory. And lo and behold, there was the mother bird hovering over the baby bird right underneath that tree. And the little mother looks at me, and I look at the baby and the mother, and I thought to myself, everything's going to be okay. About an hour later, I come back. Mother moves the little baby alongside the lawn, hovering the baby with the wing. I come back about another hour or so later. The mother is moving that baby slowly into the shrubs. I get as close as I can get to that mother bird. She doesn't move. She will not move. She is there to protect her young. No matter what the distress, no matter what the difficulty is, that mother bird is not going to leave the baby. That's David. Psalm 57, verse 1b. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster is past. He is with us. He constantly cares for us. He constantly watches over us. He constantly keeps us. He constantly preserves us from danger. Verse 2, I cry out to God Most High. There's a wonderful title of the living God. He is God Most High, to God who fulfills His purpose for me. That's what we mean by providence. We mean that God is active. We mean that God is in control. We mean that God loves us and cares for us and works everything according to His purpose. And what David's confidence is, I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills His purpose for me. Amen. He is sovereign. He is in control. Nothing comes into our lives apart from His loving care and His sovereign will. Verse 3, He sends from heaven and saves me, rebuking those who hotly pursue me. Selah. Do you all know what Selah means? Remember, this is a hymn set aside for the director of music. And as the choir would sing in the assembly on Shabbat, there would be a time when the choir would just pause. And the musical instruments would play an interlude. That's meaning Selah. It means to pause. It means to think about what we have just sung. It means to reflect upon what we have just read. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills His purpose for me. He sends from heaven and saves me, rebuking those who hotly pursue me. Selah, think about that. Think about how God protects us, how He cares for us, how He provides for us, how we're secure in His love, how nothing happens to us apart from His sovereign will. David was in trouble. He was in flight for many, many years. And he's now reflecting upon this and realizing it's all part of God's plan for his life. Even when he failed miserably and faked insanity, God was working through all of that to preserve him and keep him and protect him, so that now he's reflecting upon everything that has happened. And then would you look with me, please, at the end of verse 3. These are the two beautiful twin stars constantly shining in the constellation of God's attributes all through the book of Psalms. Know them well. God sends His love and His faithfulness. Those are your two twin shining stars in the Psalms. What's another word for love? That's the translation of the NIV. God sends His love. Anybody have a different translation? God sends His love. How about His loving kindness? How about His steadfast love? How about His loyal love? You see, the translators have a very difficult time translating this word from the Hebrew, because the word hesed has emotion, that's love, but it also has loyalty, that's steadfast love. And so David wants all of us to know that God's steadfast love for us remains forever. His steadfast love. It's unwavering. It's loyal. It's constant. There's not a single thing we can do to separate ourselves from His sovereign, steadfast love, because He's like that mother bird, protecting us, nurturing us, guarding us all through our days. His steadfast love is with me forever. Amen. Now the coupling to steadfast love is right there, His love and His faithfulness. How about that? He is faithful to His promises. He is faithful to His word. Amen. He is faithful to His ways. He is faithful to His people. He leads us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake, because of His faithfulness to us and to His own name's sake. He is faithful. His love is steadfast. It is enduring. It is unending. So no matter what our cave dwelling experience might be today, no matter what it might be, no matter what the danger is, no matter what the distress is, no matter what the difficulty is, we can rest that God will accomplish His purposes for me. Amen. We can rest that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him and who are called according to His purpose. We can rest that if God did not spare His Son, but gave Him up freely for us all, how much more will He freely give us all things? We can rest in the confidence that if God feeds the birds of the air and clothes the lilies of the field, how much more will He care for us, whom He has redeemed and whom He has now loved? This is an amazing confidence that we find as we read through the Psalms of David. Nobody clung to this truth more than King David did. He was hounded from pillar to post for many, many years on flight from Saul, and he was resting, not in his skills, not in his abilities, not in his strength, certainly not in the 400 men who gathered with him in that cave. No way. He was resting in God's faithfulness and His steadfast love. And today there are some of us that are really dwelling in a cave where we're in distress. We don't know what the next step is. We don't know where God's going to lead. We don't know what God's going to do. But we can trust that He accomplishes all things for us. And as we trust, we rest in His steadfast love and His faithfulness, which means there are times when the mystery of providence is so overwhelming, that's all we can do. Amen. We trust in Him. He knows the way that we take, and when He has tried us, we will come forth as gold. This past week, how many times that I have the opportunity to sit down with people on Zoom and remind them of this. It doesn't matter what your stress is. Some people this week, horrible physical affliction. Others, emotional distress. Some, financial difficulties like you wouldn't believe. Some, relational problems. Parents, mothers, daughters, sons, aunts, uncles. It doesn't matter what the distress is. We know that God is in control. We know that God causes all things to work together for good. We know that He will accomplish His purposes for us. And so we rest. We trust. We remain confident. God has a plan. It's an amazing truth that David gives us in Psalm 57. Let's read the rest of the psalm together. David says, I am in the midst of lions. I lie among ravenous beasts, men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. This is Saul and his many, many troops. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. They spread a net for my feet. I was bowed down in distress. They dug a pit in my path, but they have fallen into it themselves. Selah. Think about it. Think how God preserves and protects His own. Think about His loving kindness and His faithfulness. Think about how He accomplishes all things for me. Verse 7. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. Say what? David's in a cave. He's in flight. He's in great danger. Doesn't matter. My heart is steadfast. My heart is steadfast. I will sing. I will make music. Awake my soul. Awake harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. Love verse 9. I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. Why? For great is your love. That's his steadfast, loyal love. For great is your love, reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Verse 11, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. May I ask you a question? How in the world does David end on that note in light of the note on which he began? The way he begins this psalm, he's sending out an SOS. And the way he ends this psalm, he's praising the living God. May your glory be exalted far above the heavens. How does that happen? Answer, David's circumstance did not change. David's perspective did. David's still in the cave. He's still struggling. He's still on the run. His circumstance has not changed, which means once we grab hold of confident and wonderful assurance of God's sovereignty and providence, we begin to think differently. We begin to look at things differently. And our whole attitude begins to change. We move from lamenting to rejoicing because we're staying focused on the twin stars in the constellation of God's attributes in the book of Psalms. He is steadfast in his love, and his faithfulness endures forever. That's the beauty of Psalm 57. And that's what providence is designed to do in our lives. Think about all the difficulties that we have been through this past week. Think about all the dangers, all the distress, all the stress, all the problems. We can rest in his providence, confident in his love and faithfulness, so that at the end of the day, we can still sing and rejoice in his goodness, because we know that he works all things according to his purposes for those who love him. And the Old Testament psalm says the same thing. He fulfills his purpose for me. What's your greatest distress today? What's your greatest trial? What's eating on you inside out? What's causing you to toss and turn at night? What's causing you to talk to yourselves as you walk around the house? What's eating at you? Trust in his providence. Amen. Trust in his goodness. Trust that he is accomplishing his purposes for you today. Trust in his faithfulness and in his love. And in the end, we sing together, I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. Why? For great is your love, reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Heavenly Father, how we rejoice this day in providence. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that nothing comes to us by chance, fate, luck, or accident. We praise you, Heavenly Father, that you do fulfill your purpose for us. We thank you that you are the God Most High. We thank you that you constantly send to us your steadfast love and your faithfulness so that we can look to thee and in the end sing praises in confidence of your goodness and grace. Help us this day to awaken our souls. Help us to say, Heavenly Father, our heart is steadfast. We will sing and make music because of your goodness and your grace. We trust you, Heavenly Father, for this day. We trust you in the days to come, and we do so because we know who you are. We know your steadfast love and your faithfulness to us as your people. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.